said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with them for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you. Do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're doing this Mass in honor of the Holy Spirit, and St. Paul just tells us that part of the package of being a Christian is carrying the cross, and lists this litany of afflictions and hardships and constraints and beatings and imprisonments, riots, labor, vigils, fasts. But he also ties in that he's able to do it not by his own power, but by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in love and truthful speech and power of God, with the weapons of righteousness to the right and the left, and glory and dishonor and so praise. So we know that we can't do it, but God empowers us and enables us to go forward in a world that's dangerous, that is contrary to God. And yet, you know, when I say the world, I mean the philosophy, the attitude, the kind of which way society is going, and it tickles their fancy. But we're the ones in society, all human beings are in society. And God wants all people to be saved. So he anoints us who desire to have him, especially, I would say, charismatic Catholics, right? And not that it makes us better, but it does. But the knowledge of that is that we understand the power of the church as Catholics. And we understand the power of the movement of the Spirit of the risen Christ by being open to charismatic gifts. And that's what builds up the church anyway, charismatic gifts. I mean, every time your pastor, your associate pastor, your priest that preaches on Sunday is exercising a charismatic gift of preaching. And yet we still don't understand what charisms are. We think it's just, yay, Jesus. But it's apostolic. It's proclaiming the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can tell the difference when somebody preaches and you just get convicted, or you get inspired, or you get touched by it. That's the charism of preaching, working from the person that has it. And it's already there for the ordained. Special gift for those who are not ordained and preach publicly. But the power of the Spirit is constantly working. But it's not always perceived. Charismatic gifts are always perceived. So that's why you came tonight. I mean, if this Mass is sound, let's call this another day of Mass. It's going to start at 7. We have 3 people, right? You came because healing Mass. I don't know, it's a healing. Body, mind, or spirit, or whatever healing I need. So St. Paul is reminding us that God will fill us with life, he'll build us up. We have to make a decision to go out and minister. St. Paul said that he's been called to be a minister of reconciliation. That's another verse that you can use to help people understand why we have a sacrament of penance, why go to a priest for confession. Because Christ has made ministers of reconciliation through the apostles. He's handed on to the church, especially in the priesthood. And so Paul is saying, in acceptance time I've heard you, on the day of salvation I come to you. Now is the acceptance time. How can you say that? Paul could not say that before Christ died. But since Christ has died, now is the day of salvation. Now, for us. And it's an eternal matter. Because we have the Spirit of Christ living in us, dwelling in us. And he helps us overcome difficulties. And then he lists this apparent contradiction. We are treated as deceivers, yet it's not true. We're dying, but look, we live. We're chastised, but not put to death. We're sorrowful, but we're always rejoicing. We're poor, but we enrich many. We have nothing, yet possessing all things. So he's saying, if we live in the life of the Spirit, we are truly free, no matter what happens to us. Good or bad, boring or exciting, we are free. We're free in Christ because he is risen from the dead. And that resurrection lives in us. We connect with him when God poured out the Spirit to us at our baptism. And then again, it's strengthened at our confirmation. And every time we go to Holy Communion, we're being perfected. And so, it's all tied in, as you know, to loving God and loving your neighbor. And Jesus in the Gospel, it's from the Sermon on the Mount, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 or 7. And most of the time, when Jesus is preaching, he quotes the book of Deuteronomy in this sermon. And even when he's in the desert with the devil, all those quotations he uses to refute the devil, they're all in the book of Deuteronomy. And why is that so important? Because the book of Deuteronomy, the second law, it's the fifth book of the law of Moses, the books of Moses. And Moses is summarizing everything that happened for 40 years in death to the second generation of Israelites who saw God, who grew up, who saw the miracles. Some of them saw the miracles in Egypt when they were little children. And survived all the way through the desert experience, and their parents had died, because that was the punishment for refusing to obey Moses and go into the Holy Land straight away, 2 weeks after Egypt, and said they'd been afraid. And in 40 years, 38 in the sign of the Israel, 2 years in the plains of Moab, where Joshua took them in. And so the book of Deuteronomy is like this transition for Jesus, because he's saying, I come to fulfill the law of Moses, but go beyond the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses began at the Ten Commandments, which is transcendent. It's not just, it wasn't just limited to the rituals and circumcision and all the things that comes later, because of Israel rebelling and sinning. But the original law was the Ten Commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. But because the Israelites were weak, like us, they couldn't accept the pure law because of all the purification that they needed to have before they could receive it. And you can go through Exodus and all the books to recount that. But Deuteronomy is Moses saying, look, we couldn't keep the law. We couldn't keep it. And guess what? You're not going to be able to keep it. Until when? Until the prophet. Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, God raised a prophet like me, and you have to listen to everything he says. So when Jesus comes and he starts to preach, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy and summarizes from it, like a famous quote from Deuteronomy is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord alone. Remember, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind. So we know that. Man. He shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Shall not test the Lord your God. He alone is God. Trust him. So that's what you're and here's what you're on here. You have heard this said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That sounds pretty harsh, isn't it? But it's actually mitigating revenge and vigilantism and seeking justice that's not really justice. Like, for instance, if I steal a chicken from you, can't steal my cow. So it was like it was equal justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Why did Moses even have to say that? Because if you got in a fight with somebody and you hurt that person, then that family may come and kill you. And Moses is saying, no, wait, we can't have that. If there was injury done, then they didn't pay the exact injury back. and some kind of punishment. And so there's laws in the book of Deuteronomy that are necessary evils, like divorce, and an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And God didn't want Israel to have a king. God didn't want Israel to have a standing army ready to fight any time. He wanted them to be a kingdom of priests, spiritual nation. Yes, they needed to fight for themselves, they could muster their army together, but only in defense, not in attack. But spreading God's word through their life and their lifestyle and the way that they govern themselves and worship God. But it didn't work out that way. So Deuteronomy becomes this kind of, it just lessens what God really wanted to give to the people. But to keep them together, all these laws were good. So Jesus comes, I fulfill that, and we have to go beyond it, because now we have a new grace. It's beyond Moses. And here it is. It's me and my teaching. You notice that Jesus never says, follow my teaching. He says what? Follow me. Sure, he's teaching in it, but follow me. Now, here's a phrase that always throws people off. It threw me off a lot for studying it. But I say to you, offer resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. How many like that passage originally? Nobody does. Holy moly. When someone strikes, okay, Lord, you forgot this. The St. Thomas Aquinas says, he doesn't mean that literally. How many feel a little better about that? Okay, St. Thomas is a great person to study. 1200 Dominican priest, doctor, church. He answered just about every question you could ever think of and ask in his Summa Theological. Anyway, he said, a great biblical commentary, he says that Jesus didn't mean this literally. He says we can interpret Jesus' word by his actions. Interpret Jesus' words by his actions. So there's another place in the Gospel of John, Jesus is brought from the high priest, Annas, the retired high priest, and he questions him, and Jesus says, you know, what are you asking me for? Ask me if I heard him speak. Wham! He just hit the face of the temple guard. I mean, really full on blow right to the face. Probably, maybe not in a moment, but it doesn't say. And Jesus stands up and says, oh, you want to hit this side first? No, he doesn't say it. He says, if I said something wrong, tell me what it is, and not why did you hit me? So St. Thomas says, it didn't mean this literally, because he didn't do it literally. What does he mean then? Well, the context is, offer no resistance to one who is evil. In other words, be ready to sacrifice yourself and suffer for righteousness. Be ready to stand up and speak the truth. Be ready to defend something. You know, this the other day, somebody told me, they were at a restaurant, and you know, it was a big party, and so the party came in, and it just turned to it, and they were applying for a table, I guess, I don't know. They started taking a big fight in a restaurant. And the person I was talking to was like, I just came here to eat, I don't know. You know, they jumped on my relatives over here, I didn't know what to do. And I felt bad because I had to pull these people off, and I had to defend my sister. And I said, nothing wrong with that. You got to defend your sister. That's, you know, it wasn't right what was happening. And you had to sit there and go, oh, Jesus said, turn me into sheep. St. Paul says, take care of those in need, especially the ones in your own household. And there was a law in the book of Deuteronomy that if you stood by and watched somebody get hurt and you could help them, then you sin. You sin greatly. And it's even in our civil code. If somebody's being assaulted and you have the opportunity to prevent and stop it, you could commit a crime. So I think we understand that. But also to go beyond just the literalistic kind of interpretation. Like, for instance, if somebody's being hurt in the family in an abusive situation, you don't tell them, well, turn the other cheek. No, you get them out of it. Right? I mean, we know that. So I think if we can understand how to interpret some of Jesus' words that seem hard, that's what's so great about being Catholic. It's not literalistic. There's a literal meaning, but it's not like letter of the law. Well, Jesus said you have to do this. Well, and instead of saying, okay, this is what he meant at this time, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for this situation? And the church gives us wonderful spiritual interpretations of that. So that's what that is. So, but then again, Jesus did turn to the cheek, didn't he? In the passion. And so Jesus is a man of his word. We also need to follow his example and have the right interpretation. So in other words, set yourself free from this life, not by running away from it. Use what God has given us in this life, materials, things we need to survive, and then opportunities, good things that God has. But hold on to them with a loose grip. Be ready to let go of them any time. When you have to stand up for righteousness and defend justice and defend the weak, then we might say, well, gosh, you know, when that opportunity comes, I'll be ready. Well, it's all around us. There's all kinds of people that are being wounded, and we need more people to speak up. You know, on Sunday, Pope Francis dedicated that day to the gospel of life. And he said, in particular, we need to pray for the aged, for those who are sick. And I haven't heard this word, maybe you have, but preborn, as we say, the preborn, babies in the womb, and those who are in person. And we need to speak up. We need to pray. I mean, that's the best thing we can do is pray. But we have to defend life. And, you know, we live in a free society now. I hope it lasts forever and ever, amen. But free societies are always being challenged. I was just watching today on TV and the EWTN, and Marcus Gerda was interviewing this man who was Russian and living in one of the provinces in the USSR at the time. And unbaptized, uncatechized, this atheistic, he grew up atheist, and he discovered the gospel. And at the time that he and his wife were becoming Christian, he had to go to a church that was underground, that would have been persecuted, and was being persecuted. And he just talked about how hard it was to be excited about becoming a Christian, and he had to keep it secret. And then eventually, the Iron Curtain fell apart. He got up. I mean, think about that, because we're so used to it. 3 cents. I could get in my car and drive to find out how to go to room next. Nobody's going to stop me. Nobody's going to make a big deal about it. And so we should give thanks to God for that. And always know that there's forces that want to destroy what God has given us. So what do we do about it? We pray. We thank God. We ask God for forgiveness of our sins. You know, the Catholic thing we do every day in Mass every Sunday. Now, we've got to keep that going within us in the church. But I think the Lord is calling us individually and as a church to reach out, not like to start a new program or anything like that, but just to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, wonderful things manifest. Healings, miracles, conversions. I mean, I'm sure I can interview all of you and name about 5 or 6 people that you're praying for that need to come back to church. They need conversion. And it sometimes takes years. But as a priest, you kind of get the inside scoop on things. You know, people tell you, oh, Father, I prayed for myself, I prayed for my God, I went to college and I can't beat them and this and that. Not that going to college is bad. Or this and that, this person, that person. And then you pray for them, you pray for them, and then a couple years later, Father, remember I told you about my son, we came back to church. Great, awesome. And to persevere, never to give up. And we should always be ready to serve those in need. And the Holy Spirit brought to you. Okay, enough of that. I gotta get you more pumped up with some healing stories. Sometimes I kind of get the healing on Sunday, homily with the healing mass on my bed. Well, this past year, I've seen some pretty good healings. They're all good. A lot of times, you know, the healing mass, somebody will come, and they're just wounded emotionally. And those are great healings to receive and see happen. Because you can kind of see like the light of Christ is dimming in their eyes and their position, how they hold themselves. And you know, they come to a series of healing masses and the Lord is going to lift this depression off. And I've seen that a few times. A lot of young people in my parish are really trying to get them from the healing masses or get prayed for or acting and all that. And just see them, just like, they're like this. And you see the Lord's really touching and healing them. But also the physical healings, I went to Oregon in March. I kind of like really concentrated my as a diocesan priest, it's hard to get around to new parish priests, but I kind of snuck out like 3 weeks during Lent, and I didn't tell anybody where I was going, so they couldn't remember. Were you here last week? No, I was somewhere. So I went to Oregon, I went to Colorado, and I went to New Mexico. And when I went to Colorado, there were some people there that were really sick. And some of them got relief from a lot of pain. Some of them were healed. And others just got strengthened by the Holy Spirit to continue carrying the cross. And it wasn't like really obvious miracles, but it was people getting touched. Then I went to Oregon. And Oregon used to be the least church state in the Union. In other words, a lot of people live there who don't care about a religion. Or they practice witchcraft, so there's a lot of difficult there. But it just got bumped up to not the least church anymore. Washington is. They're second, so I kind of congratulated them on that. And I said, California is called third, right? It's right down the West Coast. It's okay to laugh at that. You're too serious. Anyway, so I did a 3-day mission there. Did a healing mass in the night. And then a few weeks later, when I got back, I got a little email from the lady that coordinated. And she had a list of healings, like 20 healings. Some of them were emotional, but about 10 were like outrageously powerful miracles. A man had his death in 1 year, 90% of his 65 million, but God is curious. A woman came to be prayed over for her mother, who wasn't even there, and they hung her out of the way and went to her. And she asked to proxy for her, prayed for her, and then her grandchildren were born. Another sister that was kind of driving me around there, and she couldn't kneel for a year. And on the second day of the healing prayers, her knee got healed. There was a healing of cancer. A man found out later had healed the cancer. Some other healings I'm trying to remember. Conversions, things like that. So the Holy Spirit was really moving. And then I went from Oregon to the next day, I went to New Mexico. And I did a healing mass at the cathedral. And there were some healings there, but one that stood out, this gentleman that was kind of hanging out with me and with the people that invited him. And he was a veterinarian. And he had injured his middle finger, the middle of his hand, and he couldn't make a fist. He injured ministering to a horse, and the reins got caught and pulled it out. For 15 years, he couldn't make a fist. He couldn't straighten his finger. I didn't know that until he told me. And I remember him coming up, and his wife prayed over him, rest in spirit, come back out. He kept doing this in front of me. I said, what's that? And then he was friends with the bishop there, so we all went over to his house. He was doing this all the time. So we got an instant miraculous right there. And then I talked to him the next day, and said, my hand sucks. They've been doing this all the time. So it was a powerful miracle for him. So the Holy Spirit's working. It doesn't make the news all the time. But the word spreads around and the Holy Spirit's in our midst. So tonight, let's pray for that. Let's pray for some healing and some miracles. And the Lord will give us a powerful touch and bless us. Let's stand up. And can you sing the name of the Lord? Okay, open your hand. After we do Hallelujah three times, we're going to sing in tongues. And if you have any tongues, just really let it flow out. Because in my experience, the gift of singing in tongues, especially with the community, it really it dries up the power of the enemy and really opens us up to other movements of the Holy Spirit, especially the community. So let's be open. If you want to get the tongues, just open your mouth, imitate the voice that you hear around you, and give your voice to the Holy Spirit. Remember, she gave the tongue. Very simple gift to receive. There's the non-miraculous gift of tongues, which just sounds like, well, it's not even words. It's just la la la, or whatever. And then there's the miraculous gift of tongues, where somebody starts to speak in the language they didn't know previously, right then and there, either in preaching or praying in tongues.
Yeah.
We receive it. Open your hands and your eyes. Close your eyes. Open your hands and your eyes. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, our Christ, your precious blood, surround us with the light of the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, and the angels and saints, surround us with your love and power and divine power, all of you spirits. Come, Holy Spirit, drive out the unholy spirits. Set us free. Deliver us, Lord. Help us overcome our sinfulness, our sins. Give us strength in the Spirit. Lord, heal our emotions, our memories, our minds. Help us to put away negativity. Overcome the spirit of hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, doubt, confusion. Lord, just give us inspiration and peace. Let's forgive those who hurt us. Lord, heal our bodies from disease, sickness, illness, weakness, injury, pain, weakness.
Thank you. faith, and they make these gifts pleasing to you, and their humility commended through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is right and just.
It's truly right and just, including our salvation, always and everywhere. We give thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you bestow gifts suited to every season and guide the governing of your church in wonderful ways. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you come unfailingly to her aid, so that with a heart always subject to you, she may never fail to seek your help in time of trouble, nor cease to give you thanks in time of trouble. Through Christ our Lord. And so in company with the choir of angels, we praise you with joy and hope.
Yeah.
Christ, as we wait the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of yours, my and my
Lord Jesus Christ, which you your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not our sins, but the faith of your church, your grace to grant our peace and unity in accordance with your will. Live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And peace the Lord with you all.
And with your spirit.
Offer to your son.
Yeah.
Thank you.
honor to God.